Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. I am sat here for the first time during the intro for this podcast. Series 2, we can finally bring an introduction that also features Rematch. Hello, mate.
Hey, good to be on this intro.
Yes, do you want to tell the listeners where we are?
We're in a trailer, a hot, sweaty trailer.
Yeah.
In Essex.
Yes, we are. I'm doing my last day.
Thank God.
On King Gary, Tom Davis's sitcom, produced by Shiny Button, who Rupert works for. So we've been working together. It's been fun, hasn't it?
Been lovely. Been very nice.
It's my last afternoon filming. Yes, it will. It will. But they've been long days, and I'll be glad to see the back of it, to be honest with you. But it's been fun, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Although you've got, how long have you got now?
For 2 more weeks.
Right. Okay. Mm. How tired are you?
I'm alright. I've turned a corner.
Yeah, good for you.
But it's a hard job, isn't it?
What is a hard job?
Just acting.
I don't know if your job's a hard job. No. I mean, based on the level of sort of intensity I see you operating at, it seems like a piece of piss to me.
We've had fun taking photos of each other.
Yes.
We've been trying to,
whenever the other person is sort of, I don't know, looking at their phone
alone.
Or just sitting having a chat. Alone,
always
basically.
Alone.
It's always alone. We've been taking photos of each other and sending to each other, which... I guess the game has been about as fun as you listening to us describe it, really. But that's what's been happening. So today's episode, one of our favourite rappers, Little Sims.
Great episode.
We tried to get her for a while, haven't we?
Yeah.
She didn't
turn up first time.
No, she didn't. No, she didn't. There was
she
some
was busy
sort of
in the recording studio.
There was some sort of issue.
About it.
So we then did we? What did we do in the end?
We rescheduled.
We did reschedule.
We didn't do anything.
No.
You had a chat.
We have had a number of ones where people haven't turned up because of scheduling issue. And then we record an episode anyway, and that never sees the light of day.
Yeah.
So there are...
Some of the guests we could have had on this show.
Yeah, we might do like a Lost Tapes where we just put out all the shit podcasts where it's just us in a studio. We thought we might as well make use of the...
We
paid for it. So it's a good episode. She talks about her whole process, her live performance, how she became Little Sims. It's a great episode, probably the best episode ever, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is the best intro now.
Yes, this is the best intro, 100%.
Great.
My wife is on one of the intros, she'll be slightly offended by that.
I never listened to him, but
no,
I'll
you don't.
Listen to this one.
Okay, great. So enjoy, Little Sims.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. I'm here with Rematch. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Really good. Thank you so much.
Just recovering from a cold, so you can probably hear that.
Yes, I can hear that, yeah. It's sort of... it sounded alright, but now I know it's a cold, it sort of made it disgusting somehow. Also, the fact that you're so close to the pop shield.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It just made it even ranker. I think we just have to take that off and fucking burn it after this.
We
are joined by Little Sims. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
No, listen, it's our honour. There's a guy, I can't remember his name, I don't even want to shout him out because he's been so aggressive to me. There's a guy on Twitter who, since we started the podcast, has been saying, can you get Little Sims on, can you get Little Sims on?
Really?
And then he started to get, I would argue, borderline abusive about it.
For
not having you on, yeah.
No
he sort
way.
Of just started going, when the you claim to be into hip-hop, why haven't you had Little Sims? Like, just sort of getting a little bit, like, shitty about it.
Ooh.
Is that you? Is it under an alias?
It's your management.
No, but I mean, I guess he's like extremely passionate.
Yes.
Which I'm here for.
Yeah. So. No, I like passion, but just not when it's directed at a.
Fair.
But just for clarity, that's not why we booked you.
No,
that was
it's not certainly not to there. Certainly not just there. To appease at fuckface 1 2. No, I don't know. I'm not going to.
We'll block him. Is there a way to block one person?
No, man. He's cool, man. He's good people.
So how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm just prepping for tour and festival season, which
right.
is always
and,
madness.
And is that something you look forward to?
Yeah, definitely. Especially like after, you know, making the record, having it come out, it's always the best feeling to like play it live.
Yeah, so yeah. This is Grey Area, which everybody is, I mean, it's a great album.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's everybody I know loves it.
Me again, allow me to pick up where I left off. The biggest phenomenon, and I'm Picasso with the pen. Niggas always talk shit until I hit him with the realness. Figured I should say something, but you don't wanna hear me vent. You could talk bad all day long, I will never be impressed. Don't know what I did to make you feel that you'd be earning my respect.
When it came out, yeah. How soon after it coming out did you realise that everybody had like got into it? I mean, obviously, you know, people have been into you for a while, but this album really feels like it's really connected with a lot of people.
Yeah. When it come out, I was like, the build up was so crazy, and then like Solange dropped on the same day, and I was like, we fucked it. No one's gonna listen. Like, it's, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's out there, but.
I know you're sort of joking about it, but were you like?
No, I was just a bit like, and especially because there was no mention of her dropping.
Right.
If it was like, you know, the release date was out there, I could have been like, all right, cool, I know we're dropping on the same day, but because it was just so spontaneous, it was like, damn. But either way, she dropped an amazing project and it was a great day for music, you know. But after
she dropped the second best project that day, didn't she? So good for her. That's great.
But after like a couple of weeks went by and I start like seeing like reviews and just being out and about and people telling me how much they were into it and still listening, like even though everyone like had decided whether they liked it or not, people were living with it, I feel like. You know, just
and
like,
You notice that bit, did you notice a difference in that to your previous album?
Oh yeah, 100%. I feel like this is the album everyone has been waiting for me to make. You know, finally, you know.
And were you conscious of that during the making of it, or I mean, what was the process going into it?
I don't think so. Like during the process of making the album, I was just pretty much locked away for a month with Inflow, the producer that I worked on the record with, and I just knew that in terms of sound, I wanted it to be live instrumentation.
And is that, sorry, it feels like an interrogation now,
it's
but
okay.
I'm just fascinated by how this album came together. So the decision to go live instrumentation, was that because you'd been listening to stuff with live instruments in the run-up to the album and you just sort of thought, that's the sound I want?
Yeah, for sure. And as well, just like, you know, I play instruments myself and it's always fun to get involved in that creative process as opposed to just like, you know, writing the lyrics and stuff.
Yeah.
And then also bringing it to the live show, I now play with a band, so I think those live elements are super important.
How demanding are you with the band? Because, you know, like Lauryn Hill got into some... Did you watch this YouTube video of this... Was it a saxophonist or something? Or one of the guys... It's like one of the live, like Lauren's pretty demanding.
Right.
I say Lauren, like, why would I do that? Lauryn Hill's quite like demanding about what her band does. It's like, do you have to like, does that step up your preparation?
I don't think I'm demanding, but I think I'm very particular.
Right.
Like, I think I, you know what I want, but my band and I, we're very tight, so I'm always open to, like, you know, they're great musicians and I listen to them and I know they have great suggestions and input, so it's like it's a cool balance. But I definitely am like, I know kind of how I want it to sound, but they add their two pence all the time.
So does
trying to steal the limelight.
They're
trying to steal the limelight.
Nah. Yeah. No,
if there's anybody you want us to sort of call out,
yeah,
on here, we're happy to.
Does
having live instrumentation mean that you can sort of play with the versions of the songs that you're doing on tour? Like, I mean, or are you doing it? Are you looking for like being as faithful to the album as possible?
Yeah, I think just like being as faithful to the album as possible, but just I don't know, man. Just not. Even though my roots are hip hop, and it's so easy for me to go out and do it with like just my DJ.
Yeah,
I think there's so much musicality within it that it kind of needs drums on it, and it kind of needs, you know, live keys and whatever it is, and bass. And so It's just a, like another element, and I think it's a great vibe on stage. Like, we all have fun on stage. It's a lot more fun, I think, than just being there on your own kind of thing.
Because you supported Gorillaz, didn't you?
Yeah.
What was that like as an experience? Because like they. Did you have a band then, or did you have a
DJ? No, I didn't. It was just me and my DJ.
So were you then effectively kind of like the two only humans that ever appear on that stage then?
before they come out?
Yeah,
actually.
What was that like?
Insane, everything you would imagine it to be. Yeah. Like, every night, 15 to 20,000 people.
Yeah.
Like, arenas, it's not an easy task, especially, like you said, when it's just two men up on stage, and you know, you've got to make the person all the way in the back of the room feel like they're a part of what's going on. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's quite hard to make it still feel intimate in a space that
because that is it's obviously an amazing opportunity, but at the same time, we know from going to gigs that the support act, you know, it's a difficult job for them.
So
do you know
difficult,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So how did you sort of go about tackling that? Was that like were you conscious of the fact that you had to try and win the people over?
Yeah, of course. And a lot of people were, you know, they weren't there for Sims. They were there for Gorillaz, you know. Right. But I think what was cool was throughout my set, I just kept speaking to the audience. I think it's cool when they... You know, it feels like you're just getting to know each other, as opposed to me just running through my songs and just trying to get in and get out. I was like, you know, taking the time to explain songs to them, explain why I wrote them, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it helped with making them feel more engaged.
Yeah, yeah.
And not only that, but I have a lot of energy.
Right.
That helps.
Okay, yeah. 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 Do you have to, I mean, it's exhausting, is it, performing at that level?
For sure.
Because I do comedy, you just stand. I mean, I barely move. And I feel tired after a show. With the album, like, because the thing is obviously you can rap. Like, you've got skills. There's no doubt about that. But on this album and on a lot of your stuff, it's not just beats and rhymes. You've thought about the songs. It's obvious. Like, for example, like on something like Boss, you've put an effect on your voice. There's more to it than just the you rapping over a beat.
Hot shit, never hot, bitch. Know now that you're dealing with a crisis. Never been nice, nigga. I'm a thrift store kid, real fly, nigga. Haven't seen a show till you see me live, nigga. At 23, sold dreams to my son, nigga. See God when you look me in my eyes, nigga. Learn from yay, then when to touch the sky, nigga.
Where's that come from? Like, what, how much of a, how does that come into the process of you sort of putting a record together? Because that's something that not a lot of rappers do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think that's a good example as well, Boss, actually. Textures, man.
Yeah.
Even when I recorded that song, because we recorded the rest of the songs, like, on, like, this really, you know, expensive, nice microphone.
Yeah.
And that was actually, like, almost like a demo vocal. And I just recorded it on, like, this shitty little handheld. And kind of said to my producer, oh, I want to record it properly, like, on the proper microphone.
Yeah.
And he was like, why? And then when he wasn't there, I just done it anyway.
Yeah.
And then I listened back to it and tried to emulate what I had done on the other microphone by putting all these effects on it, and it just wasn't the same. And sometimes, like, you know, it is just that one take, and you can't... There's magic in that, and you just keep it how it is. So I think... Basically, my point is, like, not trying to perfect everything.
Right.
You know, just let things be as raw as possible. Even with in Selfish, like, in the vocal, that there was a bit of noise in the recording and we tried to redo it and it just wasn't the same. And so many little things, but I think because we just... we stuck with the original takes, there was just magic in that and it worked.
So you say it's sort of like going with what... sounds great to you, do you know what I mean?
Because obviously, and what feels good,
because there's obviously there's a formula of how you do these things, you know, like, and you've got to get the vocal right and blah blah blah. And then sometimes you just think, well, actually, the imperfection is what makes
what makes it exactly. And I think on this album, especially, I kind of like learned to embrace those more. On my other stuff, I think I was a bit too like trying to be too squeaky clean, you know.
Yeah. So do you feel like you've changed your style, but like changed the way that you do things since your last record?
Yeah, I think I found a new method to my madness.
Right.
And I think it's just more of an evolved me. It just sounds a bit more grown up, I think.
And how did you sort of get into it in the first place? How was your route into, like, into being Sims?
Well, I've always been a performing arts kid, like, from the jump, from when I was, like, nine.
Right.
Whether that was dance, acting, music, anything within that area,
right,
was just, I just naturally gravitated towards. I wouldn't say I was much of, like, an academic like that.
Yeah.
But when it came to the creative arts, I'd always excel.
Right.
And then I went to a youth club called St. Mary's that was, like, near my house in North London. Every day after school, I'd just go there.
Every day?
Yeah. Literally. I think I was even too young to start going there, but because I had older siblings, I just kind of, like, it's cool, innit? I'm with my older brother, no one's telling me nothing. And, yeah, they had so many different activities, not just music as well, from, like, IT, cooking, sports, whatever it was just, like, a place for young people to go and be active, I guess, which is annoying when I look back now, like, it's closed down now and there's hardly any of those things around, which is sad. But anyway, and then from about 14, I think, is when I start taking it serious and,
right,
like, decide, okay, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life kind of thing.
Yeah. And what was your family like about that decision?
Super supportive.
Yeah.
Super supportive. Really, like, you know, were my foundation of support. Took me to any studio session, took me to shows, like, anything it was, they were 100% backing me, which was, I'm very blessed to have. I don't think a lot of people have that at that early age.
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
Ramesh, did you know what you wanted to do at 14? I definitely didn't.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know, no.
Yeah.
I still don't
what
know
did
what
did you
I
want to
do
be?
I don't know, man. Fuck no. I mean, I did do stand-up at 9 years old.
Did you?
Is it?
Oh, yeah, in the pub, yeah.
No, not in the pub.
Oh.
You don't know my fucking story, do you?
This is the first time we've met.
Yeah. Pontins Holiday Camp.
Oh, yeah.
So then what happened from there?
And then I got, like, a little acting gig.
Nice.
On CBBC. And kind of saved all that money,
yeah,
and
that
bought
CBBC
equipment.
CBBC cheddar, I know what you're talking about.
Yep.
<Big dollar.
laughs> and then bought, like, equipment,
right,
and kind of set it up in my bedroom and then just start recording from there.
That's amazing, man.
Mm.
And did you, when you were doing it then, did you always feel like it was going to, like, pay off? Or
yeah, I had at times I felt, oh, this is, especially with being independent, it
right,
felt like, oh, like, I can make this so easy for myself. I'm here taking the stairs.
Yeah.
And everyone else is taking the escalators.
Right,
like,
right.
What am I doing?
And why were you doing that?
Because every time I'd sat down with, like, a label,
yeah,
it wasn't, I just followed my intuition. It
right,
didn't feel.
So you'd go in there and you just think, this doesn't feel right. I don't want to be pushed in this direction.
I know it sounds like, yeah, sure, right.
Yeah, yeah.
But honestly, it just didn't, wasn't sitting well,
right,
and I knew, like, okay, I'm saying no, and I know I'm kind of making it harder for myself,
yeah,
but, you know, this will pay off. And also I had, like, people around me that encouraged that, you know. I think if everyone around me was like, what are you doing? Just take it, and you know, I probably would have been like, what? But because my family and everything and everyone was like, nah, like, follow that gut feeling, it helped.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I ended up here somehow.
Was there, like, a turning point for you, or was it just a gradual sort of ascent to where you are now?
Definitely a gradual.
That you said
process.
Gradual with the, the sort of tone of somebody who's fucked off with how gradual it's been.
It's just like, It's been a long journey.
Right.
For sure. It's been a very long journey. Even though, you know, I'm 25 and people tell me, like, oh, you're young, you're this. Like, I've been doing it forever.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know. So it's just been it's been a long journey still.
And have there been points when you've wanted to, sack it off?
Yeah, no, there has been points, though. But it's never lasted longer than, like, a day.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, nah, I can't not do this, you know.
obviously you come from a performing arts, or you into the creative arts or whatever. How come it ended up being hip hop that you centered in on? What were you listening to, or what sort of happened to you that made you decide that was what you wanted to do?
I think it was because I used to dance before, and I used to do street dance.
Right.
And when I was like 15 or something, I even started to teach dance to like people older than me. And so it was just, you know, I've always been into, whenever I used to dance, that was what I would gravitate towards. So when I started making music, it just kind of all made sense. Also, my older siblings had put me on to like the greats from super early, that being Nas, that being Jay, that being Kanye, that being Lauryn Hill, that being Biggie. And then, yeah, I just connected and related to it in some sort of way. Even though I remember, like, my brother always being into Nas and driving around with him and stuff, and I never really understood the content, but I just knew, I know this guy's smart.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't understand the depths of what he's saying because I'm like, I don't know, 11.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's really clever.
Yeah.
And as I got older and I started listening back, it's like, yeah, I get it now.
So does your brother, like, obviously he sounds like he's a massive hip-hop head.
Mm.
So does he give you his opinion on what you're doing?
Yeah.
And is he, how, like, is he, because my family are quite, they combine being very supportive with being super critical.
Yeah.
So it's like that kind of, well done, but that was, my mum was saying that wasn't good. So, like, how's your brother sort of, like, because obviously he's, like, probably into it.
Yeah. There's been, exactly that. That's sick, but you could have come harder or
really,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. But more time, I think he's, like, wants to give me ideas on stuff, like you should do this and you should try this and listen to this and that kind of stuff.
That
you respond to accordingly.
For sure, definitely.
He's but you on the other hand wouldn't react to that.
Well,
your family,
it's
not that important.
No, but like sometimes, like, you know, like I remember, like, sometimes you can't do anything about it, like, because like, I remember doing like a thing on Soccer AM, like it's like one of my first TV appearances, and it pains me to this day that I did that. But I got excited, like they must have had a dropout, because my agent said to me, like, in 2 days' time they want you to do Soccer AM. They don't normally book 2 days before the thing. So obviously the person they wanted had dropped out. So I was like, take this opportunity, and I just ate shit my entire time on the show. It was awful.
Really?
And then I left. And then I was on my way home, and my dad had a pub. My dad's passed away now, but he had a pub, and he said, we were watching in the pub. Don't think it was your best. Don't think it was the best framework for you. I was just like, that's not. He was trying to be diplomatic,
nice,
but I knew what he thought was. Yeah. It was shit. But and also, like, my dad used to come and, like, when I started doing gigs, he'd come and watch me, and he'd go, you were good. He goes, but the guy on after you was, like, better.
Really?
Because if you want to do this, you're going to have to be as good as that guy. You know, you're going to at least have to be as good as that guy and all that. So, like, it's...
Can you count on to, like,
I
tell
know.
You the truth?
Well, that's what I think, because like, at the time, it's hard to hear.
Of course. Mm.
But that is what you need to hear. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing to be gained. I mean, obviously, if my dad thought it was, like, really good, he'd go, that was great what you did.
But you want
to know that when you hear that, it's not just what they think you want to hear, and actually he means it. He meant it. So it's like, it's a difficult one, isn't it? But my mum, most of the time, it's not about the comedy, it's about I look fat in that shirt or something like that. It's not useful criticism.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
you were talking about the greats there, and these those all the people that you named are people that lyrics are very, very important in what they do. And obviously, from listening to your stuff, lyrics are important to what you do.
Yeah.
How did you sort of hone that? Was that just from writing at home? And did you go and do... Did you do any battling or anything like that? I mean, what was your sort of background to getting to the point where... Because you are so talented.
Thank you.
With your writing and your delivery and all that stuff. It feels like it was, you know, you're a master of your craft, or it feels like that's that's really important to you. How did that come about?
I think, well, I've always had a fascination for words.
Yeah.
And, like, English is my favourite subject. I just like... words. I just like the English language. I would do lots of cyphers and lots of freestyles and a few battles here and there, like at my youth club and stuff.
Right.
And then as soon as I like clocked I can spit,
yeah,
it was like, all right, cool. I know how to write verses on verses on verses.
Yeah.
Now learn how to make songs.
Right.
And that's when I start just making songs and started putting concepts together and trying to tell stories, as opposed to just like, I'm the best.
Because it's fair to say a lot of people don't move beyond that versus bit,
right,
do they? Do
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And so, what? How come you did?
I was listening to, for
right,
sure.
Right,
like,
right.
Biggie, you know? I remember listening to, like, Biggie and just feeling like, isn't it crazy how he can just paint a picture like that, you know, and like actually put the listener in the scenario. I want to do that. That's cool.
Yeah.
And then even when listening to Lauryn Hill, and that was the first album that I clocked music can make you cry.
Right.
I didn't know music can make you cry or make you like have goosebumps or like inflict a certain emotion on you that was just, you just can't control.
Yeah. What do you listen to now? Do you listen to hip hop? Do you listen to other stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I'm super, you know, across a lot of genres, but hip hop is definitely like my, will always be at my core.
Yeah.
But now I think I'm listening to like a lot of funk.
Nigerian. Yeah. What sort of stuff are you listen to?
Yeah, I really like Steve Manite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Rupert, you're into your funk, aren't you?
I'm a funky guy. I don't know that though.
He's like a Nigerian funk jazz sort of singer.
Yeah. How did you get into him?
Just by doing my research, more through Fela Kuti actually.
Right.
Listened to Fela and then just kind of seen artists that were around that time, and Steve Manette popped up,
and
that's my roots as well, so even more
right, okay.
Have a connection to
it. Yeah, and what are there any particular hip hop artists at the moment that you're into?
I really like No Name, Rhapsody, Earl Sweatshirt. I think is like
that last album is it's insane, right?
Yeah.
Every nigga that's tripping around, serves a reminder that I gotta watch my step. I keep it quiet as cat. Yeah, I think I spent most of my life depressed. Only thing on my mind was that didn't know my time was next. Yeah. I'm trying to refine the shit. I redefine myself. First I had to find it.
He's like one of the best.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say slept on, because he's not slept on, because, you know, people love him and he sells out shows and all this stuff. But I just want people to take him in more, because I think he's so sick.
It's weird, isn't it? Because it's sort of like, I remember like when his album, how long ago was it? It was like a few months ago it came out.
Yeah.
And I remember a friend of mine saying to me, you got to listen to, have you heard the new Earl Sweatshirt? And I hadn't at that time.
Insane.
And he said to me, the first time you hear it, you're just going to think, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And he goes, but you'll love it. Like,
yeah,
trust me.
Yeah,
and it's
like,
it's so exciting, isn't it? When, because I always think with hip hop, I don't know if you feel like this, but like with hip hop, I love it so much. And then, but some people outside of hip hop think it's not for grown ups. Do you know what I mean?
And they think
know what hip hop is. And then people do something different, and I get really excited because I think this is showing that hip hop is like progressing and it's moving.
Yeah,
and like
Earl
Sweatshirt, he's experimenting.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? He's like trying out different
literally,
stuff.
Literally.
And it's like, it's like proper. That's what art is. Do you know what I mean? And like, and then you think, actually, I want those people that do that to be rewarded. Do you know what I mean? And so, you know, it's like you said, it's frustrating, isn't it? When stuff that isn't as progressive as that, or is not getting the shine that you think it should.
And I don't know, I just feel like he just does what he wants.
Yeah.
And I just like that. You know, that I don't look at Earl and think, oh, someone's made him do it or any of that, you know? It's just, this is just what he's into.
Yeah.
Like, if he weren't making it, he'd be listening to this stuff. Or,
yeah.
You know, I like that.
Yeah. And are there people that you want to work with that you, on like in the future and stuff? Like, is there anyone in particular? Do you have like a dream list of people that you want to work with?
I'd really like to work with Andre.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That would be... That what's he up to? What's he doing now?
I don't know. I actually ran into him in a restaurant in LA like a couple months ago.
Right.
And he remembered me. I wasn't expecting
that. Are you serious? Okay, so what happened? So how come you first met him? What happened?
So Gold Link was playing a show in like Shoreditch at the Old Blue Last. I don't know if it's there anymore, but it used to be like a pub, bar kind of thing. Do you know? No?
No.
Okay.
Do you know it?
No.
Anyway,
I mean, we're two of the most out of touch human beings on the planet. Fair. So that gives
Anyway, Gold Link was playing a show there, and then I kind of hopped on stage just to do one song, and Andre just happened to be in the back of the audience watching.
Nice.
And then I kind of came off stage and went outside, and then he came outside, and then we had like a little encounter.
Right.
It was like, well done, that was wicked.
Yeah.
And then I ran into him. But this was years ago,
right.
Like, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. And then
and you've
recently,
been going around after saying to people, oh, I'm friends with Andre, just so you know, Andre.
Absolutely not. It actually ended up in the newspaper and started, like,
it was just weird.
And then a few months ago, I went out to do Coachella, and I was in a restaurant and I ran into him.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, Sims. I was like, I was literally just going up to him to say, big fan.
Yeah.
Like, not anything.
You weren't thinking I'm going to try.
Like,
and,
nah, not at all. And then he was like, Sims. I'm like, oh, what's happening?
That's amazing.
Mm.
And then now the next time is when you're building up to bumping into him and asking him to be on a record with you.
Yeah, I think I'm just putting it out there first, and then
this is the perfect outlet.
I'm pretty sure.
You can guarantee it's going to happen.
Yeah. By saying it on here, it will. It's a done deal. It's just a matter of when now.
Well, yeah, fingers crossed.
What was he like to chat
to? So blessed.
Yeah.
Like, so cool. Just. Obviously, he's Andre 3000, but just like a normal guy type shit, you know?
Yeah.
Super, super cool.
Was he wearing like Andre stuff?
No, he actually wasn't. He kind of looked like he was on some sort of bike ride. I don't know. Like, had like.
It's a strong look.
It looked wavy though, like, had the backpack and everything.
Right.
It's cool.
That must have been his thing, yeah.
It's a cool fit, man.
Oh, that'd be cool. And what was Coachella like? Is it as mental as everyone suggests?
Yeah, Coachella's pretty wild. It's pretty insane. It's just a lot going on, and it's not just the festival. That's what people like sometimes fail to remember.
How long were you actually there for?
Just a week. So it's two weekends. So I flew in the first weekend, and then everyone usually goes back to LA for the week in between.
Right.
So I done that, had a little gallery opening, and then second weekend, and then went home.
And what were the audiences like in Coachella for you?
Were they sick. Like a lot of people knew of me and were excited to come and see me. And a lot of people were just finding out about me. So it was just like kind of best of both.
And did you spend time hanging out at the festival when you weren't performing?
Yeah, but it was really dusty, and I didn't have a mask,
so I
ended up getting like a little infection. So I just kind of stayed low key.
Right.
And then came out for my show.
Yeah, and it was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it was sick.
Yeah,
definitely.
Do you go to see many hip-hop gigs yourself? Like, do you see people, other artists doing live stuff?
Yeah, going to see live shows is, like, one of my favourite things in this world to do.
Right. And is there anyone that sticks out in your mind recently that you've seen, or any...
Good or bad?
Yeah. I mean, you can't... Yeah. As an, if you're an artist, it's difficult to say this person is shit. Because, like, we should do a podcast once when I tell you which comedians I think are shit.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I haven't got the guts to do it.
How long? That'd be quite a long one.
the internet put on a really good show.
Right.
A really, really good show. Rico Nasty as well, actually.
Really?
I just went to see her like a week ago at XOYO, and that was insane.
In what
way? Have you ever seen like Tyler or Odd Future?
Not live, no, but okay. I know he's talking about that. Is it that kind of vibe?
Yeah.
Right.
Just kids going silly.
Really?
Yeah. Put yourself in my shoes. You be being I'm you. You like to play hide and seek. I can't wait to find you. Diamonds on me blind you. Falling on them kites. I look good in every angle so you don't like me beside you. Seven bitches, three lines, bitch. That's a haiku. You the hood roller coasters. Niggas like to ride you. How you hating in the daytime? Go get you some money and stop worrying about how I write. Bass hit heavy and I hit it. But it was cool because I wasn't in the middle. Like, I'm not doing the mosh pits and that.
Yeah.
But just like seeing it and witnessing it, it's like, wow. That's, she can really move a crowd.
Yeah.
It was great.
Didn't Tyler did this thing, didn't he, recently, where he said, I'm going to be somewhere.
Like a last minute thing.
Yeah. And then they shut it down.
Yeah.
He's nuts, right? Have you listened to his latest album? I mean, nuts in a good way, but
in pieces.
Yeah.
But right. I'm not like, I need to sit with. I kind of prefer doing it once. Not everyone stopped talking about it, but I don't like being influenced by.
Well, it's a weird thing, isn't it? Because you are. I always think this when I listen to, when you read a review of an album, because you think you can't review an album after listening to it once or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
you know,
for the purpose of doing a review,
yeah.
It's impossible. Like film, I get.
Yeah.
But like albums, it's so hard.
And you've got to live with for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, the number of the people can come up with an opinion on an album so quickly, and then you almost feel pressured to think, fuck, I need to think of what my opinion is on this album. I mean, if somebody asks me, like, have you listened to it?
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
Yeah.
Well, I can't. It's all right, I guess, to say I don't know yet. Do you know what I mean? I'm still sort of like, I like what I heard so far, but I'm still sort of figuring it out.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody had asked me what I thought of the Earl Sweatshirt album, if I listened to it, I'd go, I need a week or two to process this.
And then after you process it, it's like, cool, now I can tell you what I think.
Yeah, I mean,
You wouldn't be a good reviewer, basically.
I would be dreadful, yeah. And even after I'd formulated my thoughts, I'd be of no interest to anyone. So it's a double whammy. Oh my God, look at
double
that.
Trouble.
I can't even fucking think of the words. But Tyler's albums, it's not similar to Earl's album. Why do you keep referring to people by their first name like I know them? But anyway, it's...
I saw like, he put up a note or something, right?
Yeah.
And said, like, you know, it's not, I don't know, like a rap album.
It's not a rap album, yeah. It's sort of like...
Which is cool. I think that's cool.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, the good thing about music and how it's moved on now is that people accept people doing different stuff now, like... Do you remember when Kanye came out with 808s and Heartbreak? And
I love that album.
Yeah, but that was like, so many people are like, what the fuck? What the fuck is this?
Even whereas, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Where it feels like now, people are more accepting if somebody wants to break out. Do you mean like Childish Gambino could make whatever record
he
wants?
Do what he wants.
Yeah, and like, you sort of, if you get his album, you just go, I'm just going to see what this is.
Expecting it to be. Exactly.
So Tyler's a bit like that, but I'm holding back on my opinion until such that as I've properly digested and ruminated on my thoughts.
Yeah. Should we give it a deadline?
I like everything surrounding it, though.
Yeah,
I think it's really cool, like, aesthetically and stuff.
Yeah. I found him... that video, what's the video where he eats the cockroach or whatever?
Yonkers?
Yeah, that video. After I saw that, the cockroach thing really... it fucked me up for a while, actually. I found it...
I think it... What happened?
I haven't seen it.
He's a cockroach.
Oh wow, that fucked you up.
I just don't like cockroaches, and
you don't watch.
Even though I do want to see them dead, I don't want to see them dead through somebody eating them. Right. Do you know what I mean? It's too much. It's too much. Is there anything about hip hop you don't like? Like the fact that hip hop is sort of all encompassing now and has all sorts of different styles. Is there anything about it that you're not as keen on?
No, like I don't like it when there's too much of the same thing.
Right.
Like I don't mind all different subgenres that fall under the umbrella hip hop or whatever, but I feel like when there's too much of that, it's kind of like going to the cinema and all the films are comedy.
Right.
It's like today I just want a drama, or today I just, you know what I mean? So when I feel like there's, I guess balance is the word I'm looking for. When there's like an imbalance, it just kind of throws me off a bit.
Do you get hip-hopped out and have to listen to something else for a bit?
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes.
And what's your
When I go back to, like, you know, my Mos Defs and my slum villages and all that kind of stuff, I can never be over that.
Yeah, I know, but sometimes it's sort of like you listen to something else for a bit and then you come back to it and it's sort of, it's like you press the reset button, you're just like, fuck, I do love this, I love this so much.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
you
almost start to take stuff for granted, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
How's your, you know, like when you talk about Solange dropping the album at the same time as you, how do you feel about the way that music's consumed now? Like, you know, in terms of there's so much of it and we, you know, you can just get it, you know, if you can get whatever you want straight to your phone, straight and all that. What's your sort of, do you think that's better or worse as an artist? Have you made, has it made it more difficult for you?
I think as a fan first, it kind of makes me more detached, to be honest, because it's just too easy.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of liked, well, when I was younger as well, my sister taking me to HMV to get that, you know.
You got to choose because you're paying for it,
Right.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, I just get it whenever in it.
I know it sounds like an old farty thing to say, but going to a music shop used to be like one of my favourite things.
No, 100%.
And it's like, you know, you go there and you look through the stuff and then they'd
have a listen to everything first.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's fucking great.
It's a proper experience.
Mm. Yeah.
And,
And also the other thing is, the thing that used to happen to me is, like, I remember like going to a music store, I remember going to a shop to buy like hip hop, and then they had Black Keys on like one of the listening things, and I listened to it and I fucking fell in love with Black Keys.
And
ended up buying like Black Keys stuff, and it's like, I really enjoyed it. I loved it. It's like my favourite thing to do. It's just not the same now, is it?
Yeah,
I mean, it's such an old fuck thing to say. But
but
the thing is, like, if you recommended something to me now, I can listen to it straight away.
Fair.
And
that
is.
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely like pluses to it. But just it, in terms of like that whole actually going to music shops and discovering music and like you just said with Black Keys, I think that's sick.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just, if it comes easier to you, you see it as more disposable. I mean, that's the thing that people say about music, is that, like, artists, most artists, are not putting less effort into what they do. They're sort of, they're still sweating blood to make these albums or records or singles or whatever. And then people are sort of, like, you know, it's sort of a, it's very instant dismissal, isn't it?
Yeah, easy. But with my album, anyways, what I found is, like, people still care about that stuff though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always, you know, getting hit up about, I just got the vinyl for it, and, you know, people are still into that. Like, I see vinyls getting crazy right now.
Yeah.
And even at my shows, it's like, there's a demand for it. So I do think there's like a set group that like are still.
Yeah. And also there's a thing where like, if you can listen to stuff streamed on, like, you know, but if you really like someone, it's almost like you're a supporter of theirs, so you'll spend the money because you know that you really want, you want to feel like you're invested in that artist. Do you know what I mean? So you go, I want to buy the physical thing. There's people that buy vinyls that don't even have a turntable, but they're just doing it because they want to have that physical thing.
They're fine to part with the money to like
So what are your plans going forward now? I know you're going on tour, and then sort of, do you have aspirations for what the next level, what next level Sims is going to be?
Yeah, as well as going on tour, I just finished a Netflix series as well.
Is this Top Boy?
Yeah.
So when did you rap on that?
January.
What was that like? That's fucking mad. Did Drake make this happen? Is that is that my misunderstanding?
Yeah, he did. He's very involved.
So he saw Top Boy and saw that it wasn't coming back and decided to make it happen. Is that right? Have I just...
Yeah, so the season two, I think, was in, like, 2011 or something. And it didn't get greenlit. Like, Channel 4 didn't pick it up for a third season. So Drake was just a fan of the show and was just like, yo, I'll take this shit. Partnered with Netflix and kind of revamped it. Gave it, like, 10 episodes instead of 4. New cast, some of the old cast still. Yeah, and just brought it back to life.
And what was that like to do that?
That was a very great, intense experience, especially because I was filming whilst campaigning for my album.
Oh, Jesus.
And managing myself. So right. It was just like, what even is this?
Yeah.
Right now? What even is my life?
So are we talking about monster long days?
Yeah.
Right.
Silly hours.
Because if you're filming, I imagine you're getting picked up like...
Four
really?
Or five,
yeah. Because they don't fuck about on those.
Mm-mm,
yeah.
Not at all. Very, very long days. But what was cool about my schedule is even though it was 7 months, it was quite sporadic.
Yeah.
So I'd be in for maybe 2 weeks straight or whatever. Then I'd have 3 weeks to just get my music stuff done what I need to do. And then I'm back in filming and et cetera, et cetera. So I was kind of dipping in and out of both worlds.
And that, but then you're in a situation where, like, obviously you have to remember your lines for, like, when you're doing tour.
Yeah.
But you write those lines, so it's easier to have them in your head, you know, but with...
When you say, my lyrics.
Yeah, your lyrics,
right.
But with Top Boy,
yeah.
How did you find learning the lines and having to do that in that intensive schedule? Uh-huh. Was it a challenge?
It was a challenge for sure, but I think what helped is that because it's obviously London, you know, base and...
Yeah.
The script is like in our lingo.
Right.
It was easy for me to make it my own in that sense.
Yeah.
You know, if I was, I don't know, doing like a theatre play and had to do a different accent and all this stuff, it could have been a lot.
Intense,
for sure. But
do you ever have this thing with acting? I mean, like, you're much more experienced actor than I am, but like, do you have this thing where for some reason a phrase becomes the most impossible thing to, like, I'd have like a
to
line
and,
yeah or just to fucking
or to
get
pronounce
to
know
yeah just for some reason you I say you'd yeah, say it hundreds weird. Of times and then for some reason because it's in a line that you've got a nail in a scene
you just can't
get it right. It's so horrible.
I've had that and delivering it as well.
Yeah,
you know, not only do you got to remember the line but then you've got to act it out. It's quite tricky, but it helps when you got good cast as well.
Yeah,
and your co-workers are all sick and cool.
I always found it difficult when the director would give me a direction and go, Romesh, could you like play it a bit more front footed next time?
and then
he'd walk off, and I go, I don't know, man. I'm going to play exactly how I did it last time. And hopefully,
and he's like,
he'll think that's more front footed because I got a fucking clue what he's on about.
Will that be a good sound? Are you going to contribute to the soundtrack for that? Is that happening?
We'll see. I mean, there's a lot of the cast in the show do music.
Right.
So yeah, I think
it's going to be a competition there.
It's quite competitive.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, look, we're almost out of time here, but what we got to look forward to from you is tour, and where can we get tickets to the tour?
For festivals and stuff?
Yeah, so everything's actually on my site, littlesims.co.
Cool. So
yeah,
and then Top
Come
Boy.
To the London show though.
Okay, sure. When is your London show?
In October. It's a way away, but
where's it at?
Yes, I'm playing two, one at Earth and then one at Kentish Town Forum.
Oh, wicked. Oh, nice. Okay, well, we'll look forward to that. And when is Top Boy coming out, do you know?
Autumn,
right, okay. Yeah. And we look forward to that. 10 episodes instead of 4. do you know what I find amazing is Drake is at the level now where if he sees a TV show he likes, he just goes, I'm going to make that.
I love that.
Oh, I'm going to make that.
He doesn't even watch it.
So I bet he's going to get the last season of Game of Thrones remade just because he's like, that panned out.
Yeah.
I want the dragons to do this
shit. Did he come down to set at all?
He was... I didn't see him when I was shooting, but I saw him, like, read through.
Right.
Like, was just scanning through the scripts and stuff. He was there.
And did he offer opinions and stuff?
He said be a bit more front-footed.
Nah, he was just, like... I don't know. Just talking about how excited he was, really.
So good, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's cool to have
him
in the room, for
sure. Look, it's been an absolute honour to have you on the podcast, man. Like, if you haven't heard Grey Area, you need to... It's so fucking good. You need to listen to it, man. So if you haven't done, make sure you do. And we will see you very soon. We'd love to have you back. Best guest ever, Rupert?
Best guest, hands down.
What? Well done. Yeah. Smashed
Aww,
it.
Nice.
All right, cool. We'll see you soon. Thank you.
Nice one. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.